Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Supporting all working families and their communities.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, here with Angela Bachman and Aaron McClellan on this fine Friday. Hello.
Hello.
We are having some fun today, and to help us join in on this fun, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Welcome back, Buck.
Good afternoon, ladies. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
It's always a pleasure to have you. All right. So you sent us this article earlier that containing a video. It's very interesting. Angela and I had actually stumbled upon the same video of the same sorts literally about a day ago. And so would you like to elaborate with us a little bit on what in the world this is?
Well, actually, it's an ad put out by Governor Snyder or some group that supports him, and it depicts a group of women into a dress shop that are purchasing dresses, wedding dresses, by the way. And they depict the fact that the girl that basically buys the white dress and all the bells and whistles as supposedly like that they should pick Governor Snyder, and then they depict a young woman, I believe, dressed in drab garb or something, or in that effect, alluding that she is Mark Schauer. And I found this, we all talk about it, and sometimes we can laugh at these things, but I look at this thing and I see that it's dangerous, because if you've been around or listened to Michigan politics over the last couple of years since these people have been in power, they've done some awful things for human rights. I call them human rights because I don't just put gender to it. They basically passed legislation that tells women that if they're raped, they really don't deserve health care, and then they flat out say, who needs it? It's really a complicated thing anyway. And they decided to make the ladies buy a rider on the health care for their health care needs. And this doesn't really, it's far more far-reaching than abortion. And, we have an actual candidate who's running for the U.S. Senate, Terry Lynn Land, and she goes around being paid for by the Koch brothers, telling people that women really don't care about equal pay. But like I said, we're focusing in on this advertisement, and I think, to me, I don't know what you ladies think, but I really think it's dangerous. I think this is what the Republicans really think. They look at women as women and women as second-class citizens, and what they decide that they will do from health care all the way to where they receive it, they will decide that at the end.
All right, well, right now we are going to play the audio from this ad real quick just because it's just kind of like we'd like to talk about it a little bit and some of the things that are said. So we're going to listen to it real quick.
Maybe not. Looks like we're having some technical difficulties. See if I can get this to... Nope. Oh, well, we'll have to post it on our Twitter or Facebook
or something.
We'll
post it online, guys. You can check it out online.
Sorry about that.
But to give a little recap, basically what it is it kind of takes Say Yes to the Dress, if anybody's up on TLC television, which is a pretty popular show. I mean, I know I myself, I watch it all the time. I love Say Yes to the Dress. It's just kind of like mindless. You just see some nice dresses and stuff and yada yada.
But that's the key here, I think, Brittany. It's mindless.
Exactly.
And that's not what we want in our political ads.
And especially because it's like they're almost using it as a tool to reach out to women. And in this article that we read about it, it was said that the College Republican National Committee was who released this. And in my opinion, if this is their way that they plan on reaching out to millennials, women, and spreading their message, it was all wrong. It was all wrong.
I just think that they seem to treat women as if we're a different species or something, like we're this foreign entity that they just don't understand. So they keep throwing things at a wall and hoping it'll stick. And it doesn't make any sense. We're people too, and we just want to hear about the issues in a straightforward, real manner, not with a bunch of fluffy dresses to cover it up.
I think it's the notion that you look at women as being, inferior and incredibly stupid. But at this point, it's really up to women to look at this ad and respond appropriately and react. I mean, they can run all the ads they want, and we can make a choice. We can either decide that as the majority in this country, the largest constituent base in this country, we're going to stand up against this, and we're going to go out and vote, and we're going to vote in our best interest because we know the issues. We know how decisions that legislators are making are affecting us. Or we can, you know, really fall in line with this and reinforce it and not show up to vote in November and, you know, continue to let men and short-sightedness and simple-minded people make decisions about us that really have absolutely no basis in the reality that we experience every day. And what's fascinating about these kind of ads is women tend to be very dynamic in their thought process. They tend to really pick issues apart a lot more than men. And as somebody who's running for Congress right now, I can tell you when I sit across from men, a lot of times they'll ask, well, so how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? But women will really pick you apart on very specific issues and really, you know, dive into a little bit. So to see the Republican Party demonstrate that this is their perception of women, to simplify them to the point of a wedding dress, I mean, you know, ruffles and satin, this is just appalling. But really, they can run whatever ad they want. That's free speech. It's the First Amendment. It's up to us to respond to this and to show them on Election Day, because that's really where you respond to something like this. You show up on Election Day and you show them we vote based on intellect. We vote based on thoughtfulness, on how things affect our families on the ground and the decisions we make every day, and not on wedding dresses. This is absurd.
You know, ladies, I was thinking, I was sitting there, I was looking at this, and I was sitting there watching TV last night, and I saw there was an ad on TV by Rob Lowe. I don't know if any of you have seen it. It's Rob Lowe, and he's dressed in a suit, and he starts to point, this is the real Rob Lowe, and then he has a, he's made up as a kind of a bum, if you will, and he's sitting on, and he said, this is the other Rob Lowe. So really, if they wanted to do an ad, why didn't they show guys, you know, buying the new shiny tux and looking good and all this other stuff, and this could be Governor Snyder, and then the old broken down has been or whatever could be Mark Schauer. See, that's the difference. They could have easily went to that, but they went right to women. And I think this is dangerous. I think the Republican Party, that's the way they really feel. I know you were talking, Aaron, about how you sit in the chamber or whatever, and you talked. But these Republicans, especially the ones in Michigan, I think they're all the same. But this is the way they feel about women and women's rights.
You guys have a special breed of something in Michigan. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, yeah, I don't know what that is yet, but
neither do we. That's why it's still unnamed.
Oh, we got a little bit of it here. I mean, I'm running against somebody who voted against the Violence Against Women Act, for crying out loud, saying it was unconstitutional. Yeah. So it's gotten infectious.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, we can all sometimes. They even had a section here where there was a debate on the floor about the insurance issue, and when one of the state senators, Gretchen Whitmer, as a matter of fact, mentioned the word vagina, and she was basically hushed and asked to leave. And the fact of the matter is, and within 2 days, there was a picture of the Republicans, a group of Republicans sitting in the caucus, sitting there reading a magazine, and they were sitting there laughing, and they said, you know, we really like women, and they were looking at a lingerie magazine. So, I mean, to me, this is dangerous. I think they laugh about it, but this is the way they really feel. And like you said, Aaron, if we don't get out and change this by the vote, this is what we have to look forward to in the next 4 years.
Yeah, and I'm in a state right now that our only female congresswoman, a woman, is no longer maintaining her seat. She's chosen to step down. So we are in a state that is majority women, and yet we have no female congresswomen, no female senators, no representation. And all we need to do as women is go out and vote. We get whatever we want. It's there for the taking. We are the constituent base, and we show up and vote, and we can change all of that.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. My name's Angela Bachman. I'm here with Buck Gino, Brittany Sheets, and Aaron McCallan on the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
The Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio reminds you to register to vote, educate yourself on the issues, be part of the process.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Allie Bogan. Fox News' Gretchen Carlson and Brett Baer urged President Obama to release classified presidential daily briefs, or PDBs, to see who is to blame for the rise of the Islamic State.
Senator Graham says that the president should release his PDBs, the daily briefs. President Bush did do it, so there is precedent. What's the chance of President Obama doing just that?
Probably not likely. There is a precedent here in that the last time we dealt with a big intelligence question prior to 9/11, the 9/11 commission met with President Bush, and President Bush did come forward with the presidential daily briefs.
But this idealized version of Bush's precedent is not one of real disclosure. According to the New York Times, the Bush administration fought the release of PDBs for 2 years. Ultimately, they released only one titled, quote, Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S., 2.5 years after the 2001 attack on the World Trade Center. For more on this and other stories, visit MediaMatters.org.
This is a guided meditation on parenting. Take this time to breathe deeply and close your eyes. Right now, you're completely in control. Unlike the time you and your son played basketball and you attempted to slam dunk. Or when you tried removing those raccoons from the basement. Concentrate on the soothing sound of my voice. Release the memory of when you wrestled with that beehive in your son's treehouse. Let go of the time you thought that skunk was a cat, or when you pulled into the garage with your son's bike on top of the car. Deep breaths. Deep breaths.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who don't need perfection. They need you. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
While cutting molding with a 12-inch dual compound miter saw, while holding a newborn baby in your arms, when face-to-face with a congregation of alligators, with the ball in your hands and the entire freaking season on the line.
There are a million places you'd never consider texting, so why would you do it while driving? NASCAR driver Casey Kane here, asking you to please stop the text, and together we can stop the wrecks.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Get the message at stoptextstopwrecks.org.
It's about the work. Work we're proud of. Work that provides the energy that powers America. Work that means our communities are stronger, better, for our families, our neighbors, for everyone. Just like you, members of the United Mine Workers of America are on the job, every day, working hard. It's what we do, and it makes America a better place. The United Mine Workers of America, working families just like yours.
Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day I wake up
at 5. For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, here with Angela Bachman.
Hello, Brittany.
And Aaron McClellan.
Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm good. And we have Buck Gino.
How are you doing, ladies? It's good to be with you.
Doing great.
We are doing great. We are having fun. It's a great Friday. It's a little dreary looking outside, but you know what? We're having fun, and that's all that matters.
Yes. It sounds like it.
Yeah, Charles even popped in. He's sitting here just watching us, just going, oh boy, oh boy.
He's way outnumbered today.
Yeah.
Yeah, by a long shot. You're right. Anyway, you know, ladies, one of the things that I was thinking about over the break was is that in Michigan we have a U.S. Senate race. Carl Levin retired. It opened up a season. We have U.S. Congressman Gary Peters running against Terry Lynn Land, who was at one time our Secretary of State here in Michigan. And I guess I wanted to get your take. You know, we've delved onto the what the Republicans really think of women, but one of the things that's always kind of troubled me, being from my union background, where we negotiate contracts, where a journeyman gets a journeyman's pay and an apprentice gets an apprentice pay, it's been a long shot, and by estimates, women make roughly 77 cents on the dollar that men do. And
Buck, hey Buck, guess what? Yesterday I heard it's moved up to 78 cents. Whole penny. Okay. We're inching closer.
Well, anyway, she states, and I wanted to get your latest take. She states that why should women worry themselves about that? She says that that women in the workplace are more interested in flexibility in their jobs than pay.
A woman said this?
Yes, Terry Lynn Land. She said that you guys...
Is she sure she's a woman?
Well, on the surface, I would say yes. And the other part was she said that, you know, that her daughters probably should be more concerned with finding a partner to provide for them than worry about equal pay.
Okay, what century did this happen in?
It happened just in the last month. Mm-hmm.
You okay. should see the shocked look on Aaron's face right
Charles
now.
Charles is coming in here.
Charles has had enough.
Buck, you know, I just have to say this, you know, and first of all, Aaron, thank you for sitting in for me today.
Delightful.
Ladies, a man is not a plan. Okay, I don't know where Miss Lamb is. I don't know which century she is from. I don't know what she is thinking. Has the woman ever held a job? And, oh, by the way, for all you guys that are out there thinking, ha, 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 it's okay that we pay women less. Well, guess what? It's less money coming into your household because I got a sneaking suspicion somewhere in your life there's a woman, a mom, a daughter, a sister, a wife, a so think about that one for a second. Thank you.
My thought on this is just, I'm just like, does she like believe in like the movie like the Stepford Wives? Because like that's what comes to mind here is like this image that is just like, no, it's not okay.
You know, in the free market. So, okay, let's say as a woman, you're a working mother, which I've been. I have a 13-year-old son. And you want to go into your employer and you want to say, look, I will choose to take a lesser wage in order to have more flexibility because that's going to work for me. And your employer agrees to that. That's great. But you shouldn't say that fundamentally employers are okay giving women less wages because we're just going to assume that the dollar doesn't mean as much to you as it does to a man. That is an unbelievable assumption to make about a woman. And it's unbelievably sexist. You know, like I said, as a working mom, I still got to pay the bills. And that's what I would talk about whenever I went in to talk to my employer and negotiate a contract. Now, if I wanted to make some changes about time off policy so I could take care of my son, I would. But I didn't have to do that because I have a great husband who raises my son with me. And I know that that's an odd concept for some people, that in a dual income family, which is really necessary in today's society because wages have stagnated and more people have to be working. It's really hard to be a single income family these days. And to sit there and just insinuate that women can earn less. I mean, women have enough problems not going in and fighting for equal wages. And some extraordinary women have talked about this. Mika Brzezinski wrote a whole book about how she was, thankful that she had a job and so grateful, while her counterpart Joe Scarborough is in there just negotiating like crazy, getting the highest number he can get. And we need to encourage women to do that. And then you have people like this saying this dumb stuff, setting the whole women's lib movement back decades. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
And then this, like you said, this is a woman who's running for U.S. Senate. And the reason why, I think this goes back to the bigger picture that we were talking about all along. Obviously, she's been bought and paid for by the Republican Party and how they feel. But I guess I'm like you. I would just love to just be able to have like 2 minutes with it alone, eyeball to eyeball, and say, is this really how you feel? Is this really how you feel? And like I said, I just couldn't believe it. Like I said, I was shocked that it would come out of a woman's mouth. I mean, at the very least, she could have not made a comment. But to say that women really aren't interested in equal pay, they're interested in flexibility, and that's more than pay. They don't worry about the money. Now, like you said, you know, it's all about the money when you go to work.
I'm going to throw a curveball in this. How does this help, like, single mothers?
Uh-oh.
I mean, like, for
those
real,
don't
though.
Exist, Brittany. That's a myth that came from somewhere, right?
When the man plan falls apart, what do you do then? Uh-oh.
But, like, really, like, in this situation, okay, go out and find a man. You know what? That's not an option for everyone. You know, some people are just, like, they're a single mother. They've got their kids. They've had something unfortunate happen in their life, something to that effect. And you're saying, basically, it's okay for them to earn less and rely on someone else, and they don't necessarily have that other person to rely on. Like, it just, in no way, any way you want to spin this, is it okay?
When, as Aaron said earlier, it's very difficult to run a household on a single income, which in my opinion is part of how they have co-opted the women's lib movement, and you know, now you don't have the choice because you have to have a job. So I don't know, it's just all wrong.
Yeah, it's this ongoing narrative that you see where we keep taking choices away from women. You know, women only do as well as the worst choice we offer them. And it doesn't matter what we're talking about, whether it be wages, work, education, you know, pre-K education for our children, access to quality healthcare. It's all the same. We don't feel in this country, there's too many people that don't feel that offering women the same choices that they offer a man is appropriate. And in the 21st century, women are equal. I hate to break it to some people, but that's just the way we're trying to look at it around here these days. And I mean, when you need to encourage people to understand that women should have the choice, you should have the choice to go into the workplace and decide what your priorities are, what you want to accomplish. Because men do it too. You know, a lot of times men have different priorities of what means something to them. They can do that. Why can't we do it? And why do we have to automatically assume that, you know, being at home and having flexibility is more important than making a buck and paying the bills?
Hey, not every woman has kids. Here's a thought.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. We've got about a minute, Buck. What are your final thoughts?
Well, I think what this goes back to, the whole half hour that we spent here, is that, and I said this, and I mean this wholeheartedly, I think this kind of rhetoric is dangerous. This is, sometimes we look at it, and some people, even men, will look at it and they kind of just smile and, you know, and think, well, it's all part of the game. But I've been watching politics in Michigan for a long time. I've been part of the movement for 40 years, and I see this as very, very dangerous. I mean, if we don't get out, and as one of you said, if we don't get out and vote and make sure that we change that, the next 2 or 3 years could be even worse yet. So that's what I meant about being dangerous. And I know we're only like 3 days away from the deadline to register to vote. I'm sure Charles talks about it a lot, and I would echo that. Make sure you get registered and get on the vote. That's the only way that we change it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. Register to vote, guys. You've heard it. You know it. We preach it. Go do it. That's the only way to change it. That was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman and Aaron McClellan, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. The Coalition to Save Our Social Security Thursday unveiled 500,000 petition signatures demanding that Social Security field offices remain open in communities across America. The coalition consists of the American Federation of Government Employees, Social Security Works, and the Alliance for Retired Americans. They say budget cuts have degraded the Social Security Administration's ability to provide service to millions of baby boomers becoming retirement eligible. The coalition is insisting that field offices are vital to provide proper service to people eligible for Social Security. Public Citizens Global Trade Watch says the Obama administration's insistence on the investor-state dispute settlement clause in the Transatlantic Pact could scuttle the trade agreement between the EU and the U.S. Global Trade Watch's Lori Wallach says that the ISDS regime gives new powers to corporations to attack domestic policies
in the U.S. and Europe. Wallach says Obama wants a parallel legal system for foreign corporations, and there is growing European opposition to it in the trade negotiations. The European Commission president, the German government, and several large voting blocs within the European Parliament have all voiced opposition to the ISDS, according to a new report from Global Trade Watch. In the U.S., opposition to the ISDS provisions giving corporations power to attack domestic policies includes labor, environmental, consumer, and health groups, as well as the Tea Party and libertarians. Wallach says a slew of domestic laws are being attacked in what she called these corporate tribunals. The SEIU-affiliated Workers United rallied in Brooklyn Thursday, calling on Marimont Corporation to negotiate a new deal for workers that includes fair wages and affordable health care. The low-wage, mostly immigrant workers prepare and deliver food to more than 200 schools. SEIU says Marimont has a terrible record as an employer, and the union asserts that Marimont owes more than $80 million in back wages to workers. In New York City, a bill has been introduced in city council to end the city's collaboration with what immigrant rights groups say is unjust deportation machinery. The bill would end New York City's cooperation in honoring hold requests by Immigration and Customs Enforcement placed on immigrants in city jails that ICE believes are subject to deportation. Currently, ICE can place these holds without judicial warrants. The New York City bill would stop that practice, refusing to honor holds unless a judge had issued a warrant for a subsection of immigrants who have been convicted of violent crimes.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
Workers Independent News is proud to be heard on The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. Live nationwide weekdays noon to 3 p.m. at theunionedge.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.